Lord, I would just say, Lord, may that be the continual prayer in our hearts. That, Lord, You're all I want. All that we ever needed. Lord Jesus, how we come to Thee this morning. Lord, I would ask that You would, in Your mercy and grace, pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us, Lord Jesus, because we have learned that our own wisdom, our own reasoning cannot bring us to God. But it is indeed Your love that draws us to Yourself. Lord, it is a hard issue. And so we would ask this morning, Lord, that You would deeply touch our hearts, that You would put that yearning in our heart for Jesus and for Him alone. Lord, touch us this day. Open our ears to hear what You're saying to us. Lord, I more than anyone in this room want to hear what You're saying this morning. Lord, we just come to Thee. Lord, I just ask that You would anoint us and bless us with Your words this morning to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I am struggling a bit. I have two thoughts on my heart, and we're going to have to see where the Lord takes this morning. The first being, Lord, teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. And the second, which is kind of the overriding theme, is having to do with our spiritual warfare, is out of Isaiah 59:16. It says, "And the Lord looked down, and He found no man, and He wondered that there was no intercessor." He looked down, and He could find no man. No one. And He wondered that there was no intercessor. So may the Lord, in His grace, show me how these two thoughts are really combined. I was deeply touched this week as I was preparing by our young brother, Philip Higgins, and of course, his going to be with the Lord. And I think that's what brought me to this matter of, Lord, teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom, because young Higgins was 18 years old. And many of us knew him and his family very well through the years, and was greatly encouraged that our younger brother had, in the last year, year and a half, really returned to the Lord. His heart had returned to the Lord, and he had come back to the Lord in such a deep way. I was very, very much impressed by the testimonies that were shared, particularly when they said that over the past year, Harrison had a lot of inquiry about what it would be like to be with the Lord. And the Lord Himself had obviously put this longing in young Harrison's heart. Philip Higgins' heart. So used to the two Harrisons, the oldest one and then his son. But in Philip's heart, this longing in such a young man's heart, not only to know the Lord, but to want to be with the Lord. I was reminded of Paul, the Apostle Paul. He said, "I would much rather be with the Lord than to be here with y'all and sharing. And the Lord has found that it's necessary that I be here now," but he said, "it's far better to be with the Lord." And you know, I think in Paul's heart, he was not saying that because he wanted to escape all the trials and the tribulations and the pressures that he was under that we see that he reveals to us in those letters. How much the Apostle Paul did suffer, as the Lord told him he would, for the Lord's name's sake. And yet, we have to know that in our hearts, that Paul's desire and longing to be with the Lord was not because he wanted to escape, but because he wanted to be with the Lord. so I think that the Lord had put a very similar passion in our young brother's heart, and that deeply touched me. In 2 Corinthians 5:8, you don't have to turn there. I think our brother John on Wednesday night as we prayed, he shared the verse from Paul's letter. We are confident, I say willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Willing. In other words, not because I need to get out of here, but willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And I thought about that and I said, you know, the Apostle Paul was so close to the Lord. We can understand that. We can understand a man like the Apostle Paul uttering those words. But I was taken back to the two thieves on the cross. And as I meditated about those two thieves, I read some, of course, and I looked, and it's very interesting that as our Lord Jesus was on the cross, suffering for the sins of the world, one of the thieves mocked Him as the priest had done and said to Him, look, if you're God, come down on that cross and save yourself and save us. Why not? You're the Son of God. Prove it. Then everybody will know. Our Lord Jesus Christ cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. That was our Lord's response to the mocking and to the stripes and to man's bitterness and hatred. Lord, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Two thieves. One mocked at the words of the Lamb. But the other thief, hearing those words and somehow looking at our Lord Jesus Christ there on the cross, and he says to him, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The other thief, in hearing those words, Father, forgive them, in seeing what the Lord was going through. You know, man's reasoning was, if you're truly the Son of God, this cross is not an issue to you. You can come down and save yourself. That was man's reasoning. And man and his reasoning get such a hard heart. He thinks and contemplates about God and finally determines that the real God in his life is me. That I'm the one that should be in control and need to be in the control of things. If I was in control, I would come down from the cross and overthrow all of those that were against me. Oh, how much different we are than our Lord. But the other thief, seeing the same things, hearing the same things, he looks at the Lamb and he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He didn't ask him to somehow save him. He said, just remember me when you come into your kingdom. That tells us so much. It tells us that he had seen the same things and had heard the same things. And he looked at our Lord and he saw something. The Lord was able to reveal to his heart that indeed, though he was dying and suffering on that cross and taking all the mocking of men, that he was indeed the Son of God. His eyes had been opened by the Father. His heart was able to be touched. And he saw the Lord Jesus Christ for who he was, the King. And he was saying, look, I would love to be your subject. I would love that you would be my king. We are getting what we deserve. But You've done nothing wrong. And yet You are the one being crucified. Oh, somehow I see that You are the Son of God. You are the King. And when You come into Your kingdom, remember me. Isn't it amazing, the two different hearts in this story? Two men, the same circumstances, the same issue. They were being crucified for their sins that they had committed against society. Our Lord had not committed one sin. It's one man. God was able to touch His heart. And He looked up. Remember me when You come into Your kingdom. Oh, He wasn't just looking for salvation, was He? To be saved from His circumstances. Even maybe from His sins. He was saying, this is one that I would love to have as my King. I submit to His Lordship. Today, often when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and we present the gospel, we come a little short and we say that Jesus Christ died for your sins, in which He did, and for you to obtain eternal life and salvation from your sins, you must accept Him as your Savior, as the one who died in your place on the cross for your sins. And He's willing to do that because He loves you. And has, through our whole history, He has worked in your life that you might come to that point of decision in your life where you look at the Lamb and you say, yes, I recognize this one is the Son of God. Yes, in my heart, I touch Him and He's touching me and I want to respond to this one and I accept Him as my Savior. That's a little bit short. We need to also accept Him as our King. So I think it's interesting that this young man, he just says, I want Him to be my King, the Lord of my life. Oh, brothers and sisters, God was able to touch that thief's heart on the cross. Oh, what a difference that made, that one moment in history, almost his last moment, made in this man's life. In fact, both of the thieves' lives. Our Lord's response to this young man was today, not in 1,000 years, not in some time in history when I return, but today you will be with me in paradise. What a tremendous difference between two lives. And brothers and sisters, the only difference that I can see that made a difference was the heart. It wasn't the head. It was the heart. And the Lord was able to reach in and touch the one thief's heart. And you know, in John 3:16, it said, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that none should perish, but that all should have eternal life. Oh, the Lord's heart was just as much towards the other thief. Brothers and sisters, I have no answer as to why the Lord could touch one heart and the other one was too hard. But He was able to do that. We have to remember that we're born in this life and unfortunately we're born with a hard heart. But the Lord works in your life. It says He knows us when we're formed in the womb. And He works your entire life to bring you to that point of decision in your life where you, your heart can be touched by Him. And you recognize that this is indeed the Son of God. and that He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth, that it was God's intention and purpose, that in His love for man, whom He created, His own creation, in order to save them from their own desperate need, that one day He would send His Son down to this earth as a man, to live as a man, to suffer as a man, to suffer the same temptations, to overcome in all those things, to live a perfect life, a sinless life. And because of that, He was qualified to be the substitute for you and I on the cross of Calvary, that He might hang there in our place. And that by accepting Him, we become righteous people because of our faith in what the Savior has done. And it's all because He touched your heart. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He first loved us. Brothers and sisters, we should fall down on our knees and say, Lord, thank You so much for being able to touch this hard heart of mine. It was nothing in me. Don't we realize, brothers and sisters, there's nothing in here that desires God. Even the desire for God has to come from Him. And He can work in our lives. This morning we talked about this young woman who pressed through the crowd. And do you know why she pressed through the crowd? She had a desperate need in her heart. She was desperate. Let me say something to the curious that were there that day. Nothing happened. But to this young woman who was desperate in her heart to touch life, the Lord Jesus would not refuse. He never refuses a desperate heart. He never refuses a heart that is open to Him. Now, once again, I have to say, when the Lord is able to touch our heart, it is a miracle. We talk about miracles. But brothers and sisters, to touch these hearts of ours is indeed a miracle. Hearts that have been so hardened by sin, by living the life the way we want to live it, by rejecting God, by rejecting His hand in our lives, it gets hard. And I have to say, it takes an absolute miracle and power of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, that He can touch our hearts. So what is on my heart this morning, at least as the beginning thought, is that our life is not measured, brothers and sisters, by the length of years. Philip was 18 years old. But I have to say, the testimony of this young man's life has affected thousands in this city. So we cannot measure our lives by the length of years. It can only be measured by our relationship to Jesus Christ. Two thieves, one mocking God. His life is measured as zero. The other one, recognizing God, wanting God, loving God. Today, you will be with me in paradise. This is our hope, brothers and sisters. One day we will be with Him in paradise. Our days count. Our lives need to mean something to the Lord. And all I can think of this morning is what makes the difference is our heart towards the Lord. And if what has so deeply been impressed on me this morning is that we've got to get our hearts right with the Lord. It makes such a difference. It makes such a difference. I know that everyone in this room probably already knows the Lord Jesus Christ, But our relationship to Him today, our heart relationship, is what is going to make the difference. I found it very interesting. We know that in Matthew chapter 1, you see the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And it's traced through the kings, because Matthew has to deal with Christ being the king. And it's traced through the kings. And it ends by saying, and there was 14 generations from David until the call to go back to restore Jerusalem. 14 generations. But as you read in Chronicles, the genealogy, if you read the genealogy, and I think it's 1 Chronicles, I got it written down here, I'll find it somewhere. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Maybe it will to some. 1 Chronicles 3, chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. If you read that genealogy, you'll find that there's four kings, four more generations that are not mentioned in Matthew's genealogy. Now, a lot of those kings were bad that were mentioned, but there's four that do not show up in that genealogy. Now, is the Bible wrong? Was this book of Matthew wrong in saying there's 14 generations? Well, if man measures it, we would say it's wrong. That there's been a mistake made. There's really either 17 or 18 generations, depending on how you look at it. Well, one of those kings was actually appointed by Pharaoh, so he didn't count. But there's three other kings that were in the line of David. And their names are not recorded in the genealogy of Jesus Christ because their lives did not count. It did not make a difference. They were evil. They died an evil death. And when God looked down and said, we're going to put the genealogy of Jesus Christ according to the kings in the book, those three were eliminated. That didn't even count. 14 generations in the Lord's eyes, not 18 generations, nor 17. You see, those three generations are gone. In the Lord's mind, they're gone. These three men are gone. There's no history there. There was no value to the kingdom of God in those lives. Brothers and sisters, our days count. Psalm 90 is a psalm written by Moses. And it is in Psalm 90, 12. And Moses says, teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. Teach me to number my days, Lord, that I might apply my heart to wisdom. Think about Moses' life. As a baby, how God sovereignly ruled over his life, that he was taken out of that basket in the river. He could have drowned there. But the Lord spared Moses, and he came into Pharaoh's court. Became a great architect in his day. A warrior, a tremendous warrior. And finally God called him. Told him he would go out, that he would lead the people out of captivity, out of Egypt, into the promised land. Moses, I got it, Lord. I hear you. Goes out and slays an Egyptian because he's beating up on one of the slaves. Lord says, no, you hadn't got it, Moses, yet. Sends Moses out in the desert, doesn't he? For 40 years. Breaks Moses' heart. Breaks Moses' even thought of ever leading God's people into the promised land. Father, is thought from Moses' heart after 40 years, brothers and sisters. And the Lord appears to him as a burning bush. It's burning, but it's not being consumed. It's a thorn bush. And you have to say that the Lord is saying to Moses, don't you see, Moses? You're like this thorn bush. You've grown up. You're wild. You do it things your way. You're a thorn to me, Moses. You're mine, but you're not yet following me. And after 40 years, he said, now, Moses, I need you to go down there and speak to Pharaoh. Well, Lord, I can't speak. Man, he was an eloquent man. He was the leader of the nation of Egypt. But all his eloquence, his natural eloquence, had drained away. Everything of his natural strength and power was drained away. He got him to that place of zero in his life, and then God was able to make out of him the man he needed to. What am I saying? I think, brothers and sisters, sometimes in our lives, it's good to get back to zero. It takes a heart transaction with God to do that. Sometimes it takes many years of transactions to get us back to what's real. And that's what was so made as though living the other day to me was, Lord, when it really came down to it, what was real in Philip Higgins' life? And it was the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the testimony that I heard. Oh, how that testimony in that man's life gave such comfort to his family. And to the thousands of young people, or at least around 1,000, it looked like to me, of young people that I'm sure are wondering about Jesus Christ. All of this thing that Philip was sharing with them, now it seems so real. Oh. And it was because 18 months ago, the Lord was able to bring Philip Higgins back to zero in his life. And finally, the Lord became everything in his life. It was no longer 50% Philip and 50% the Lord, or 75% me and 25% the Lord. It was zero and 100. It is a good thing, brothers and sisters, when we are humbled in our lives and brought back to the place in our hearts where we recognize that it's all the Lord, that it is Him. And that what matters in my life is my relationship to Him in my heart. And that can only be done in the heart. I want you to know that. The mental apprehension of Christ fails us in these hours like this. We know that, yes, just knowing that there's something about Jesus Christ and that somebody has told me that He died for my sins and He's the one I call on when I really get in real trouble. It's very distant to me. In fact, it's kind of like a fairy tale. Well, let me tell you what, in this hour, in the hours like this, it's either real or it isn't. It's either made real to you or you are in more confusion. What am I trying to say this morning? I'm really impressed with the Lord telling us we need to learn to number our days. And our measure in the Lord's accounting of things is our relationship to Him. The depth of our relationship to Him. The greater the depth of our relationship to the Lord, the greater the measure. Seventeen generations by a man's counting, 14 by God's accounting. It's three generations that have disappeared off this earth. in the Lord's eyes. Amazing, isn't it? Brothers and sisters, there's nothing else that matters. I've come to this conclusion that my troubles and my trials and my tribulations are insignificant to the fact of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that basically these things are designed to bring me back to the Lord, or in some cases drive me back to the Lord. But the issue, I think, for us is, Lord, I need to get my heart right with You. I need to get my life straight with You. I need to. Because, Lord, I can go months, weeks, years, and those times will account for zero in Your accounting of things. See, when our lives are detached from the Lord Jesus Christ, I have to say this. God has designed you as a spiritual vessel. Man is the only vessel designed that way. The only part of His creation that is able to contain spiritual life of the Lamb, of the Lord. And when we're not fulfilling our purpose that we were designed for, it doesn't count. It doesn't count. If I tell somebody at work, look, I need for you to go and fix that leaking trap under the sink, and he gets in the truck, drives to Southside, and gets him a hamburger, I mean, has he fulfilled what I've asked him to do? It doesn't count, does it? He said, but look, it took me an hour to do that. You know, I took a whole hour doing that. Surely it counts for something. Well, you got your stomach filled. What I needed done was not done. It's such a simple thing. We all know it. I just feel so impressed that let's not let another day go by that our heart is not straight with the Lord. That whatever issues we may have with the Lord or whatever, we get them straight. We need a life that counts. These circumstances are not designed to crush us, brothers and sisters. They're designed to show us Christ. They're designed to bring us to the Lord. That lady that we talked about this morning with that issue of blood from age 12, all of her life with all the doctors and everything else, do you know that the Lord allowed that? Until she became desperate. And she knew the only solution was Jesus. And that was it for her. I thank the Lord, brothers and sisters. I bet today she's saying, praise God for that issue of blood. Because without it, I may have never come to Jesus Christ that day. It's all that's going to count in the end. Is our relationship in Jesus Christ. And that involves being joined to Him not only in life, which is what our basic salvation does, not only a union in life, but a union in heart and purpose to carry out His will in our life. And that's really what matters. If we're not doing the Lord's will, it counts for nothing. I've been living 58 years. I wonder, in the Lord's accounting, how many is there? I don't know. But brothers and sisters, I have to say, let's get our lives right with the Lord. Let's get our hearts right with Him. Don't fool ourselves by thinking, well, okay, I can get this done tomorrow, mañana. Tomorrow. Or, Lord, once I get my life straightened out, Lord, then I can come back. But I've just got to get this worked out first, Lord. You're crowding the Lord out of your life. That's all you're doing. You're saying, I can do this. You're like Moses. Oh, may we realize, hey, the most you got is zero. Oh, what a great liberation that is, brothers and sisters, to finally realize in your life that the most you got to offer the Lord is zero, and now all you can do is say, Lord, I need you. I desperately need you. I need you to fill my life. I need you to fill my heart. Yes, these problems and circumstances, somehow in Christ, they can be dealt with. And my greatest and most desperate need is for you, Lord, and to know you and your person and who you are. That's my desperate need, Lord. Oh, may the Lord challenge our hearts this morning. Our young brother from Russia, those that were here, I wish all of you had heard him. His passion for Jesus Christ and for the people in Russia. And he said in his message that a message is not any good if there's no challenge there. So he gave us a challenge. You know what the challenge was? He told us a story about two men. Both were young men. They'd grown up together. They'd both come to know the Lord, Jesus Christ. One devoted himself, consecrated himself, and devoted himself to the Lord. In all of his life, he was serving the Lord, serving others, concerned about others, interceding for others. Man full of joy, and we can see why. The other one was very concerned about himself and his issues and his own problems. Drifted away from the Lord, went into the business world, did not do very well, and one day he got deadly sick, deathly ill, an unhappy man, and he called for his friend to come to be with him at his bedside, and his friend showed up, and they began to talk, and his good friend looked at him and said, well, are you afraid to die? And the man looked at him and said, no, I'm not afraid to die. I'm ashamed to die. Because my life has fallen so short. And he had no more opportunity. Brothers and sisters, our heart is going to be the measure. Even when we fail the Lord, it's our heart that's going to make the difference. Look at Peter. And he failed the Lord. When the Lord was being tried before Pilate. No, I think it was the other one. And he denied the Lord three times. He failed the Lord. But Peter's heart was for the Lord. His heart was for the Lord. And the Lord restored Peter. You know, to deny the Lord before men is a serious offense. And Peter did it three times. And the Lord, what made it so much more difficult was the Lord told him he was going to do it ahead of time. And Peter was so sure of himself that he made... so sure of his love for the Lord that he would never do such a thing. And yet he failed. Now, the point being, Peter could have stayed in that fallen state for the rest of his life. He could have remained in that place of saying, I have failed the Lord. My life is ruined. And I never have another opportunity. I've denied the Lord, and He's going to deny me before the Father. But thank God, Peter's heart was still for the Lord, wasn't it? We know that. The Lord came back in a secret time with Peter, which we don't know what was said during that time. The Holy Spirit has kept that part of Peter's life sacred. The Lord restored Peter. Just came back to him. I'm sure Peter poured his heart out to the Lord. And he was restored. And we know from the record how much of Peter's life counted in those days that followed, don't we? What I'm saying, brothers and sisters, is Sometimes when we fail the Lord, the enemy just says, that's it. You've sinned such a sin, or you've done it so many times, the Lord's totally fed up with you. You're a hypocrite. You might as well hang up your spurs, as we used to say in the cowboy days. It's over. Yeah, you can continue to go to fellowship, but keep your mouth shut. Just sit quietly in your seat. Because you're a hypocrite. You fail the Lord. You don't deserve to be restored to the Lord. Well, brothers and sisters, that is all the talk of the enemy. But how often we come under this spiritual warfare in our lives. And he stops us cold with his accusations. In Revelation 12, it says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Who were these that overcame by the blood of the Lamb? They were simply those who had a heart for Jesus Christ. And when they failed him, they were willing to go back and say, Lord, I have failed thee greatly, but your blood has prevailed over my sin. And I believe that, Lord. And I believe your word that says that you will restore me if I confess my sins. I believe that, Lord. And restoration, brothers and sisters, is immediate. The Lord Jesus said when he was on this earth, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give rest unto your soul. How many in this room, including me, need rest in our souls? There's only one way to have that rest and peace in our souls, and that is to come to Jesus Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, he's saying, return unto me. Get your heart straight with me. That's all that's going to count. I want it to go on the record. I want your life in the record. That's what counts. Let me end here today. Lord, we just come back to Thee. Lord, I particularly lift up the Higgins family this day. I lift them before Thee, Lord Jesus, and knowing that You have promised to comfort them. Lord, I can't get it out of my heart that this young man loved You so much that his love drew him right out of this earth into Your arms. It is our loss, but Your gain. But You had a heart that was so passionate for Thee, Lord. And Lord, my prayer is for all of us today that we get our hearts straightened out. Lord, not put it off another minute, another hour. We want to do it right now, Lord Jesus. We want You to restore us, Lord, to heal our souls. Lord, I never will forget that time in my life when I was so desperate that I thought I was losing my mind. And You spoke those words, I will restore your soul. Lord, You're so good to us, Lord. Lord, may Your love come down and touch every heart in this room. I pray in Jesus' name.